Ladies and gentlelumps, boys and giddles, welcome to another episode of the...
So we got bored during quarantine and we started a podcast.
Thank you for that rendition, that was beautiful.
Sorry, I was completely improvised, I wasn't planning to sing.
No, I'm not surprised. Welcome back. We are the Boredom in Quarantine podcast. We're two entertainers currently out of work, and to occupy ourselves and hopefully to occupy you, we talk about all things entertainment here on this podcast. And we're inspired by our friend, the random word generator, because we're not creative enough to think of our own topics. So,
random word generator. And the word is... Can we change this word? Because it's depression.
Let's skip depression. We're having a cheerful day. Let's just skip it for now. Although it is an interesting topic for artists, to be fair. Won't we order? Like, isn't that the famous thing that all artists suffer from terrible depression?
It's called rejection.
Van Gogh. Okay.
It's rejection. All right. No. Conflict.
I'll keep going. I mean, if we're stopping. We can't have conflict after
depression.
I'm
pretty sure these things are not... Are not adjectives.
It's going well so far. I hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We are the Boredom in Quarantine podcast, and we do eventually talk about something when Sarah makes up her mind as to which word she likes best.
Contraction.
Really? What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with the random word generator? It doesn't know what an adjective
is. You know what? Give it to me. You're getting fired. You're getting fired for this episode. Give me the random word generator.
What?
I bet you'll give me a nicer one.
I highly doubt it.
Itchy. You got itchy? All right. Okay, I bet you for me it'll give me a nice one. So look. Berserk. It's not very helpful though, is it?
Berserk makes me think of orcs.
Foregoing.
What, you don't want to talk about high fantasy?
Foregoing. Royal. Oh, we could do royal. We've just finished Bridgerton, which you made me watch.
I made you watch Bridgerton.
You made me watch Bridgerton. There's a lot of rumpy pumpy.
I hadn't realized you didn't want to watch it.
Well, no, I did not want to watch it, to be fair. No, the thing is, you ever have that thing where you crave watching a certain kind of thing or reading a certain kind of thing? I get it a lot for you. Here's a pro tip for anyone who's ever feeling stressed, all right? If you want. You know, you work a stressful job or life is just difficult and you want to fully escape, the key is finding the reality TV show for you. Now, I never crave reality TV, but I watch a lot of it because it allows my brain to go dead and me to focus solely on the really terrible television I'm watching. But then I start craving things. So sometimes I crave sitcoms, and sometimes I crave... The one I crave the most usually is like detective series. I love a good detective series. But I must say, I never crave period dramas. Ever. But
like
Bridgerton got some winning points because it had a mystery. And quite an intense mystery.
And it's a mystery that's ongoing.
Yeah, it's ongoing. So we've just watched Bridgerton, it came out on Christmas Day, the 25th of December.
Yeah.
And it is now... One of the most watched.
It's like one of the top five series popped out by Netflix. So it's a Netflix original.
So what the top five Netflix originals ever to be produced. There's a lot to talk about in Bridgerton. I feel. First off.
The colors.
The colors are beautiful.
I'm a huge fan of like good visuals and like, you know, when I guess the director of photography has taken note, and also like the costumes and everything, all of that has been taken into account and how everything looks, and it makes it enjoyable to watch.
Very much so. It is a very beautiful series. I feel that, yeah, there's a lot of things to be said for it. I mean, this is Shonda Rhimes's first, and she's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, it's not her first.
Her first Netflix show or first delving into period dramas. It's a first something.
Probably, yeah.
That was not very helpful to comment, but it's the first something from her. I think she does a great job because period dramas are so easily depressing. This really isn't, huh?
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, no.
Okay, you name to me a period piece that isn't depressing.
No, you're probably right. Especially the recent ones. Like, if you watch Outlander, for example.
Outlander is intense.
That was some... Yeah, we had... Well, I had to stop watching it.
Yeah, I mean...
Even if he was very nice to look at.
He Sam Heughan, I'd like him to be in the next James Bond.
He would be... You know, he was in My Boyfriend is a Secret Agent, or I can't remember, with...
Yeah.
Great, I don't remember names again. I'm going blank.
My Ex is a Spy.
My Ex is a Spy, yeah. Anyways, but Mila Kunis? Mila, yeah.
And was it Rebel Wilson with her?
No, it's the one who used to play Hillary Clinton in Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. He's one of the secret agents.
Yeah, I didn't recognize him from that at all. I like him much more as Jamie from Outlander. He's quite stunning as Jamie. He's got the good-looking curls. Yeah. He's a good-looking boy.
The character's like nice.
Yes, so by standards of whatever age that's meant to be, the 1400s or whatever it is.
Everyone else seems like a beast.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah. Period, I find that most period dramas, they're called period dramas, aren't they?
Yeah, are keyword drama.
Pretty depressing. We go back to our original word of depression. but I feel the Bridgerton there's a lot of questions about, there's still some sad storylines to it, and you feel for things, like for
the injustices that are happening and still the pressure. Yeah.
But I think they do a great job. I mean, it is a very enjoyable show to watch. It's got a lot of rumpy pumpy, which is not my personal favorite.
Yeah, we saw the Duke's bum a lot.
Yes, which is also
I wanted to giggle.
Yeah, it was a lot of the Duke's bum. Do you know, I read an article, the first scene they ever filmed
was one of those.
Was the scene in the library. Do you remember that? Like, just after they're married, they arrive.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
Do you imagine that being your first day of filming?
Hi! I'm the actress that you're gonna put your face in.
And also the first scene that I've forgotten his name, but the actor who plays Anthony, the first scene he filmed was also his first scene in the film in the whole series, which is him up against a tree with a girl and his bum out in the open. And I think he said his description was, he goes, I got to know the makeup department quite intensely because the first thing they had to do was to powder my bum so it didn't look too sweaty on scene.
Oh gosh.
But that's... it is a good, like, it kept me, not because I was, I don't mind period dramas, I quite enjoy them when I get into them, but because of the mystery. The mystery is great. Like, you have so many questions.
So basically it's a gossip column and then the authors...
Yeah, you explain the series to them.
I'm not gonna do that.
Please do.
The mystery, I'm just talking about the mystery, that there's, is the mystery? That everybody wants to find out.
Bridgerton is narrated by Lady Whistledown, who is this gossip, basically she produces her own little mini gossip column. It's like an A4 paper in three, like folded over, like a leaflet. And it shares all the gossip of the ton, or the town, I guess.
I never understood that.
I thought it was just another word for town, but I'm not sure. And it was about all these, like, these different families and them trying to find, like, the period of the year.
Marrying off the women.
They're trying to get married. The women are trying to get married off and the men are trying to find someone for a wife. And it's all these, like, the different kind of stories around that and who's dating who and what's happened and why is this person eligible and why this person isn't. And it also talks about the queen as well.
Yeah, she takes some hits at the queen.
So the big question is, who is Lady Whistledown? And then two of the characters, the ones who thus far don't have love interests, they're on this hunt to try and find out who she is, where the other ones really, it's all about the stories of their relationships thus far. You have this, you do get quite curious about who Lady Whistledown is, because you want to know who's writing all these naughty things.
Yeah, so you're left, well, yeah, you have to watch it if you haven't already.
And so it's based on a set of books. I don't know if it's... I think they've renewed it now for 7 seasons.
Whoa.
I thought that would make sense, right? 3 boys... No, it wouldn't. I think it must be 6 books. 3 boys and 3 girls. Because it's about the Bridgerton family.
No, they're 8 kids. No?
Are they 8 kids? Then that'll make sense. That's what I read,
yeah.
So you've had the first book, which is about Daphne. The second book is about Antony. Now, assuming that they follow vaguely...
the same order.
The trajectory that Judo Quinn's books follow. Then they would be probably looking at Antony's story. So the eldest Bridgerton boy, a Bridgerton child, actually, would be the next season. And it did seem kind of set up to tackle that story next. But what was the word? Because something inspired me to think of Bridgerton, but...
Royal.
Royal. Oh, well, that's fair enough. But the reason I also thought of it was that, I mean, you can imagine there are always people online who are complaining about reality versus representation.
Yeah.
So obviously in Julia Quinn's book, the Queen and the Duke are both white.
Oh, okay.
Where the Queen and the Duke and... actually, the Queen, I don't think it said... The Duke and... Oh, now, what's her name? Lady... the badass character.
Yeah. Oh, Danbury. Danbury.
Lady Danbury are both white. But then there's the Queen, of course, as well. But that's an interesting story because Queen Charlotte, who she is meant to be... You know, she's based on. She's called Queen Charlotte. There was a rumor that she was of... I think mixed race or of African descent.
Okay.
But she's always represented in paintings as being white.
Okay.
But the stories that are told and the kind of the text that exists suggest she might be of slightly coloured skin.
Ooh.
Which is quite a... But I imagine the royal family were hiding that one.
I think that kind of... Did it come out a bit when, like, Meghan Markle was joining the family? Like, oh, yeah, now there's rumours.
I don't know. I don't think it came out then. Because, I mean, even Meghan Markle joining was, like, a big... You know, for some people were, like, you know, it's quite questionable. But then what I think was interesting... Was it Shonda Rhimes herself who says in an interview about Bridgerton and that someone's talking to her about this idea of, you know, showcasing diversity. And she's like, yeah, she goes, my supposition was that, you know, the Queen... If this rumour is true, that the Queen is of mixed race... that she would have then let in families who were also of multicolours to make her feel less inferior. And so that was why you see a more coloured... That's in her head. That's why you see a more coloured representation in the Bridgerton ton.
In the court.
Yeah.
Than you would do
usually.
Not courtesans. What do you call them?
I don't know. You use fancy words. Find out your own fancy words.
Fine.
So yes, we finished Bridgerton. Did we finish another period thing recently? What did we watch before Bridgerton? Oh, Virgin River. No, that's not really a period piece.
No.
I had it in my head for some reason because they're kind of on that same level of like enjoyable, good stories.
Okay.
But like not like in that frame of it's a murder mystery or it's this or that. You know, Virgin River is just kind of a nice story, really.
Yeah, that you just...
I don't know what you'd classify it as, a drama or a comedy. It's not a comedy. Drama, maybe a little bit of drama.
Maybe, I think it's a drama.
But yes. So what were your thoughts on Bridgerton? Now that I've filled up all the useful information, because you couldn't even recap it.
I get flustered.
It's a podcast. There's no one here to fluster you.
I still get flustered. Because I'm thinking, we're not editing this.
Don't think that then.
But it comes unbidden to my head.
Well, at least give us your opinion on Bridgerton. Because I can't talk. I saw it for 14 minutes now.
Oh, so, okay, fine. Well, I really enjoyed it. Well, but I had already talked about the visuals, which I'm always a big fan of the photography in a movie or a series. And I did find it funny. This is my historical, snobbery. That everything looked really pretty and clean. But during that time, there would have been a lot of horse feces on the road, and the roads are absolutely clean. And I'm like, yeah, they didn't want to show this part. It would have ruined the whole aesthetic of it.
That's probably true. That's the most random thing to recognize, but okay.
I held my tongue and I didn't say it while we were watching it.
Yeah, you can imagine how fun Sarah is to watch films with, huh? Like, this is the kind of things I have to put up with. I also liked, I don't know if they're like that in the books, I'm very curious, but the Featheringtons, the family of the Featheringtons, they've depicted them as, I mean, it's almost Cinderella-like.
Yeah, you're like, this is definitely Cinderella.
Because there's definitely some inspiration, because you've got, it's a family of five, Mum and Dad, who don't get along at all. Mum is clearly, like, you know, really wants to climb the social ladder.
Yeah. Very ambitious.
Very ambitious. And then her two kind of eldest daughters, who are both depicted as... Well, the thing is, she dresses all of them, so herself and her three daughters, all of them in the most...
garish colours.
Yeah, garish colours and styles and... Like, it's very distinct looking. There's nothing elegant about it.
No, they're like an eyesore.
They are an eyesore.
Color. And I really like color, but this is like... I mean, it's still done nicely, but it's... You wouldn't say, yeah, I want that woman on my
you
side.
You can't imagine someone, like, picking up a dress and going, this I want to wear.
Yeah.
Because it's got, like, stick-on flowers and stuff. But anyway, but the two older daughters are kind of meaner to the third daughter... Who, you know, not in a large extent, but like Penelope, who really is probably possibly the only character that I feel, maybe Penelope and Eloise, who's one of the Bridgertons.
I would like to point out that if you're fans of Derby Girls.
No, not Derby.
How do you say
Derry.
Derry! Gosh, Derry Girls. It's Claire.
It's Claire from Penelope. The Derry Girls.
If only I knew the actress's name.
I've forgotten. Nicola Coughlan, I think it is. Or Nicole Coughlan, something like that. But anyway, so Claire and Eloise are probably the only two relatable characters to a certain extent. Like, they almost feel modern.
Yeah, they are.
Compared to, these are two girls who go after, you know, trying to work out who Lady Whistledown is. But I feel that, you know, Claire and Penelope, the two that you relate with the most in the series. I think they're the most kind of modern and opinionated. I feel that that's kind of... I love that depiction of... I mean, it really gives you the idea of Cinderella, the evil sisters, and the mum. And then they also take in a character. They also take in... Is it Marina, her name?
Marina,
is?
Yeah.
Marina, who's the father's, you know, some kind of cousin... You know, cousin's daughter, and she's kind of treated like Cinderella then.
Yeah, because really. She's also from the country and
the country, and she
and somehow she's the very popular one with the fellas.
Yeah, she's very popular, and they don't want that because they want to kind of get their daughters, you know, wed.
Married off first.
So there's like it's such a fun like little part that you're like, yeah, it really does feel like Cinderella, and the things. But yeah, I feel that I really liked the acting. I think. It was really interesting to see. Is it Nicola Coughlan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicola Coughlan playing Penelope Featherington compared to her in The Derry Girls. Now, The Derry Girls is, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's... And this is coming from someone who's really picky on sitcoms. It is probably the best modern-day sitcom that is out there. It is extremely funny. But you probably
watch it with subtitles.
You need to watch it with subtitles if you're not used to Northern Irish accents. But it has these. I mean, it's three girls and one boy. It's four main, or is it four girls? And
I think it's
four. How have I forgotten this? But they have this. It's a group of these kids in Northern Ireland during obviously. During the Troubles at the time. But it's incredibly funny. I think it's probably even funnier if you are Northern Irish or you are Irish and you know something about the history. But even for, I think, most people watching it, you can still enjoy it. And one of the things is that Nicola Coughlan, who plays Claire, plays this very... I mean, all the characters are very exaggerated in many ways. Like, the girls... Like, the girls and the boy, they're all kind of... almost parodies of people you know.
Yeah.
But like not to the extent that you necessarily notice it. They're just kind of a little over exaggerated. And Claire is kind of this I mean, she's really like intense and like trying to follow the rules and do it, and she goes a little kind of she goes to get really nuts when things are going wrong and
because of course her friends lead her astray. Yeah. And then she's stressing out because like, oh no, we're doing the wrong thing. We're doing exactly what we're not supposed to be
and
doing.
And then she starts overthinking it, but out loud. And then it just gets progressively worse. And then of course there's the nun. They're in a school, which is of course run by Mother Superior. And it's a girls' school, so this boy isn't here because he had nowhere else to go. And it's just a very, very good series overall. And I think the nun is definitely also one of the...
I
think probably the star of the show. So
I really enjoyed her.
So wonderfully, wonderfully dry.
Not what you expect from, I don't know, do you call them a woman of the cloth? Or do you just say man of the cloth, not woman of the cloth? But for a nun, she's very pragmatic, let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, it's really recommend that. That was it was on Netflix, I don't know if it still is, but if you have a VPN, I'm sure that you can probably still get it on, if you go on the UK one, I imagine it will be there. But yeah, such a good series.
Really enjoyed it. We went through it very quickly.
it was fun seeing Nicola Coughlan then play such a restrained character by comparison.
Yeah, it's a different,
very different. I hope we see more of her on screen. That would be nice.
I think we will. I mean, I feel like the success of those two series, well, at least they've been like good quality series. Yeah. So I can imagine that she'd keep popping around.
So I spoke for like 20 minutes. I feel like you've added nothing. It's your turn to then add something about royals.
Royal. Enthrall. I just want to. It's that song of Lord. That's the only thing that comes into my head every time I hear royal. It's like royal. And then her really dark lips. Because she uses like this deep purple lip. You know, my brain just connects things really oddly. I'm not going to try to explain why. It's a lot of energy trying to put everything in order as society wants it to be, because my brain doesn't work that way.
Okay, so if you don't want to put that in order and tell us about it, then tell us about something else.
Panic?
You are hopeless. This is definitely the worst episode for Sarah. This is not going well at all. I don't feel like you're participating in this one-way conversation.
What? Don't I thought you loved monologues.
No, not this much.
I thought you were the queen of monologues. Of no. Being the center too of attention.
Too much of a rambler, I think, probably.
If you're a rambler, then what the hell am I?
Tangent queen.
Tangent queen?
Yeah, you ramble on things that aren't royal? Even relevant. Yeah, you're royal, that's the one. Well, we have another few minutes to kind of kill, so we better think of something to talk about. What else is royal entertainment?
The Crown. I feel like that would be one of the...
That would be.
Top dog royal. Top dog royal. Totally illegitimate term. Well, we started watching that, but we haven't kept going.
Yeah, I wonder how it is now, because I feel that one of the... Possibly from pressure from producers, I don't know, or from networks, I feel that they get progressive... A lot of dramas get progressively more dramatic.
Mm.
And one of the things about The Crown that was nice was that it was dramatic, but
very subtle.
Very subtle, and probably in a way that you could expect to be real. I wonder if, and also from what I've read a bit, if that might have been pushed too far in the last few seasons.
Because I think that was one of the things that I really liked about, well, the first season that I watched, was how you see that the strength of the queen has to be in, or the position of royalty has to be in restraint. It's so much restraint in, you know, how you look and what you do and what you say and how you present your views.
Yeah.
It's almost like you have power and you have no power all at the same time. And how, you know, she has this inner strength of persevering and maintaining, I guess, the respect, the prestige of the crown.
Yeah.
And it's that inner strength and kind of, it's...
And it's an interesting point because one of the things I disliked about it, I had no problem with the switch of, you know, having the older generation of actors.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that I really like Olivia Colman in everything, but I much preferred Claire Foy as the queen, who's the original, the younger character.
Yeah.
And I just felt that they just didn't quite... She became... The queen became a bit more... I guess almost like losing the backbone.
Oh, okay.
Like, that was what I got the impression of from what we had seen. And I was like, ah, it just... Now, to be fair, I don't think I gave it enough time. Like, I feel like we had to watch it longer. I think we only saw one episode with Olivia Colman in it. You know that you haven't seen it?
No, oh, I haven't seen Olivia.
Maybe when it's in the trailer then, which is also even worse.
Yeah.
But I looked at it and I was like, oh, this doesn't feel like the queen that we've been, that's been shown so far, this kind of restraint and, you know, especially because you had the sister dynamic, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And
that I'm curious how it's going to develop.
Yeah, and I mean also that Helena Bonham Carter, who then plays Margaret.
Yeah.
I'm really curious because that relationship was really interesting in it. Probably a lot more interesting actually than any of the other relationships they showed portrayed. But yeah, you're kind of like I just don't know. I looked, maybe it was just the trailer.
I think we need to give it a chance. I think we need to watch it because I hadn't realized you had this opinion that
I was like, Olivia Colman just isn't doing it for me. Like it's not that kind of inner restraint that we're expecting from the Queen. Also because she's still like that to this day. Like, she's still kind of a very restrained person. If that was to break, you know, I think Claire Foy did a very good depiction of it. And I think if that was to break anyway, that would be hard. But then if it's just the trailer, they're probably just dramatizing bits and pieces of it. So that's...
Probably.
That's definitely, I think...
You know what I did notice? I felt like... I mean, obviously, I grew up with American English around me. So I didn't know really what... You know, when you say, oh, the Queen's English, what that sounds like. But I felt like in The Crown, that was the first time I got to, like, hear it, I think, in a very pure form.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I noticed that in Bridgerton, Daphne's English is almost...
Yeah.
Has that vibe. You know, it's kind of, like, very proper English, but also restrained in emotion. That was one of the things that I always found kind of almost frustrating, and like you're just chomping at the bit when you see period drama, especially like in the English kind of court, is that you always have these people like throwing, you know, what do you call them, jives, or, you know, snapping at each other, but in extreme politeness, and you're like, ah, just break free. And and I guess that is something that's left of the culture still, that, you know, you want to be restrained, never show, I guess, your pure emotions.
Yeah, which is probably why Harry got so much stick over the years growing up, because he was a lot more flamboyant in that sense, and my, like, emotionally flamboyant.
Like he expressed his feelings
about things. Whereas if you look at William, he's followed strict the protocol. Royal protocol of, you know, not being like that. And even, you know, Catherine or Kate, as she's known, has gone down that road, and unfortunately George and Charlotte and Louis will also follow that route.
Well, probably George. I have a feeling the other two will be like, well, we're not inheriting the throne, so bye-bye.
We should be okay.
You kind of think, I would find it so frustrating not being able to always have that, like, it's like politeness is an armor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, you just, especially in period pieces, I feel like all you want to do is for them to, like, take off their corsets and just let go.
Yeah, and scream like, at each other.
Like, throw their, like, wiggle their hair in the air and stuff. And
like, you just don't care.
Like, you just don't care. But on that note, I feel like we should probably call it quits for this episode. If you'd like to follow us on our social media accounts that Sarah still isn't updating, please do so on
Facebook at Boredom and Quarantine, or Instagram at Boredom and Quarantine Podcast. You can always drop us an email at boredomandquarantinepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on any of the podcast thingy-majigs.
We're even on Apple Podcasts
now. We are officially on Apple Podcasts. Whoop, whoop. It's in the Dutch one, though. Under the comedy category, by the way. Spelled with a K.
Okay, well, enough of that. Anyway, thank you for listening. We have been the...
So we got bored during quarantine and we started a podcast.
Podcast. Until soon.
Bye-bye.